welcome to church over the internet. I hope and pray that you will be blessed as we gather in our homes listening in. Though apart, we are one family in Christ, no matter where we are. If you're listening in and have not met with us before, welcome. Please let us know so that we may keep in contact over this time. This is the day that the Lord has made, the scriptures remind us, and also to rejoice and be glad in it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together this morning as your people. We pray that what we do now is pleasing in your sight. And upon leaving and gathering and contacting each other and keeping in contact by through prayer and phone calls, that what we do is pleasing in your sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've come together as the Church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, to encourage one another, to hold fast to the hope he has given us, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. We're going to sing our very first hymn, which is Holy, Holy, Holy. Thanks, Rosemary. Together let us affirm with Christ and Christians across the ages what we believe about God and his love for us. What do we believe? Together? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life that's everlasting. Amen. Our gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Karen, would you like to bring out something? Bring the Bible readings to us.
The first Bible reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." The second reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 through to 26. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, Karen, before you go away, I want you to tell us a little bit about what the kids have been doing in Kids Church during this month, because I think that the Bible readings are tying in with that, what the kids have learnt during the week. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks. Thanks, Trevor, and hello to all our church families and listeners joining us this morning. Yes, you're right, Trevor. The Bible reading this morning has been chosen because of the focus of our Kids Church program for Term 1, which has been the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Galatians 5:22 teaches us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's important for our children at Kids Church to learn about who God is, how much he loves them, and how he has revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But it's also important that we teach them how to live as followers of Jesus, and it's never too early to start. So our focus has been on helping the children in an age-appropriate way to hear that as followers of Jesus, the way we think and feel about situations or other people, just as much as the things we do, reflect our character and our relationship with Jesus. We are trying to live in a way that is pleasing to God, and the good news is that when we live in relationship with Jesus, he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit to help us to do that. Now, the kids have been learning that God made different kinds of plants and trees to produce certain fruits and only those fruits, and we recognise an apple tree by the apples it produces, or an orange tree because it only produces oranges and not watermelons. In the same way, we can be recognised as followers of Jesus by the fruit we produce in our lives. Before we know Jesus, we live in a way that's not so pleasing to God. Sometimes we can feel angry or jealous, selfish. Sometimes we're greedy or other unkind things. But when we become followers of Jesus, he gives us his Spirit. Because we have his Spirit living inside of us, we are able to produce good fruit, fruit that comes directly from him. And just like it says in Galatians, we can find for ourselves to be more loving, kind, patient, and sometimes we can even have self-control. However, sometimes we still continue to produce bad fruit, because it is impossible for us not to sin at all. But just as sunshine and rain and good soil cause an apple tree to produce apples, as we seek to know God and to learn from him and listen to him, the fruit of the Spirit is produced in us. So the children have been exploring the Bible for examples of how God displays these various qualities, and they've been hearing stories from the Bible that show examples of people displaying the fruit of the Spirit in their thoughts and actions. And one that we had a lot of fun with was the kindness of the Good Samaritan. Now, each week you might have heard us singing from the back of the church, and we have had a really fun and fast song to sing about the fruit of the Spirit. Music is a great way to memorise Bible verses, especially for children, but actually for anybody of any age. And we know that the kids have actually had a lot of fun with this song. I actually thought that they wouldn't be able to learn it because there's a lot of words and it's really fast, but they are so clever and they have learned it so quickly that it's been actually a heap of fun every Sunday morning to sing it. So I think we're going to hear that song this morning. Awesome. And
oh, that'd be great.
It would be a really good thing. We're going to encourage you at home to grab some musical instruments. If you haven't got any at hand, then I suggest you go to the kitchen and grab some pots and pans and make a lot of noise and really enjoy this song.
The fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit is not a banana. You want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a watermelon. The fruit of the Spirit is not a watermelon. You want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a lemon. The fruit of the Spirit is not a lemon. If you want to be a lemon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not a cherry. The fruit of the Spirit is not a cherry. If you want to be a cherry, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay! Everybody knows that grapes come in bunches, so everybody get in big bunches. The fruit of the Spirit is not a grape. The fruit of the Spirit is not a grape. You want to be a grape, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control.
Awesome. That was just absolutely awesome. Who's exhausted at home? We are. Absolutely. That was really quite fast. All right. Open up your Bibles. Inside, you should have received a bulletin over the internet or by an email. You're either printing that off and you've got it there in front of you, or you've got it online and you're looking at it on the website. You should have a bulletin, and inside the bulletin there's a sermon outline as well with some Bible study questions on the other side. You'll see the two Bible readings that Karen read out to us. This is the third and the final little sermon series before we go into Easter on thinking about what makes a church fit. Well, not in terms of physically fit, but spiritually fit. What's some qualities of the church? And today we're thinking about the title for the sermon's called Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. So indeed, Heavenly Father, we ask you to speak to us through your word. We ask that we may understand what it means to understand your work in us by your Holy Spirit, helping to produce that fruit of your Spirit in us, making us more and more like your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, I gather you got your Bibles there handy, or just the two Bible readings that are on the sermon outline will be enough as it is. Okay, I want you to remember when you were young and you had no fear of breaking bones or embarrassing yourself. And averting was a word that hadn't yet been invented. All right. I want you to remember when you ran with a friend in a three-legged race. Now, there were some here who might be young enough who were listening in who may be thinking, what on earth is a three-legged race? I'm not suggesting in any way when you get bored at home over these coming weeks and the coming weeks that you try it, okay? All right, but it's a race between couples. You'd line up at the start with a friend, grab a stocking, that's those brown floppy sock-looking things that grandma wears, and you wrap it around your ankle, and you tie it around your friend's left ankle, and disregarding all social distancing, you place your right arm around their shoulders, and they would place their left arm around your shoulders, and on the starter's call, go, you'd run as fast as you could together to the finish line, trying to beat the other couples. Now, some of you, I gather at this moment, are either remembering your trip to the hospital with a broken ankle or the fun you had running in that race, or you're imagining the confusion, couples tripping over each other, falling to the ground, trying to get up again and then falling to the ground again, or you're remembering the on-watchers are laughing and cheering on from the sidelines. Or that one couple, they're just watching, you're imagining that one couple that worked together and kept in step and powered on to the finishing line. What are you remembering? Or what are you envisioning as you see that race? Well, that's the three-legged race. Sounds dangerous, and it is, but it's a heaps lot of fun. Now, the art to winning a three-legged race, in fact, the art of getting to the finish line at all without falling over, breaking an ankle or embarrassing yourself, was to keep in step with each other. It usually meant the taller and the stronger of the two of you would take the lead and call the steps. Your middle legs tied together was one, the outer legs two. And the leader would call out as you ran, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, until you finally crossed the finishing line, keeping in step with the leader. Now, the two passages from the Bible that is before us this morning and what our children from Kids Church have been hearing about in their Kids Church this term speak of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and his relationship with us. These two passages, with many others, but just these two that are before us this morning, remind us of who he is and what he does in the life of us Christians. I guess maybe this is something you've wondered about a lot. I know I have. You can't see him, but you know the life you now live in relationship with God is something you keep with, you stick at, you work at, because there's something, in fact, someone who keeps you hanging in there with God, driving you on. Well, that's him. That's the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, if you love Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He's the one who's reminding you that even though it's not an easy life, you fall over, you get up again, and you fall over again, and you get up again, being a Christian is the better life to live. He's your unseen friend, taking the lead in your life, helping you to press on to live all your life God's way and cross the finish line at last. He's the one, in fact, that despite whatever we might say to other people when they ask us why we choose to live the life we live, they just don't get him. And we shouldn't be surprised if our friends who aren't Christians don't get this. They don't understand why we live the life we live. It's because, as Jesus said there in verse 17, look there at verse 17 of your first reading from John's Gospel, they neither see him nor know him. For them to actually believe him, they need to see him, but they can't see him. And because they can't see him, they can't accept him. And because they don't accept him, they can't know him like you know him. But he's not meant to be seen. He's a spirit. The spirit of truth, verse 17. He's the spirit of Jesus. Don't give up. Oh, that they would believe. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for your friends, family. But we know him, don't we? Why do we know him? Because he lives with us and he's in us. Verse 17. We live the life we live in relationship with God, however old or however young we are, because the Holy Spirit lives that life for us in us. In verse 24 of the second reading there from Galatians, the Apostle Paul put it this way. He explained it, look there with me, in these words. In verse 24, we live by the Spirit. We live our relationship with God because God, the Holy Spirit, is working that relationship in us. He is the one who takes the lead in our relationship with God. He's the one who helps us to live it. Back there in John's Gospel, verse 16. That's why they call him an advocate. It's for this reason Paul calls upon the church, you and me, therefore, no matter again how old or how young you are, to keep in step with the Spirit. He's like your friend you run with in the three-legged race. He's the one who takes the lead, grips your shoulder hard, pulls you close, so to speak, calls the steps, and drives you on towards the finish line. And you and I follow his lead. You keep in step. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commands. You will keep in step with the Spirit. And since we live, therefore, by the Spirit, we are to keep in step with the Spirit. And if we love Jesus, we'll keep his commands. Well, what is it that the Spirit helps us with? How does he take the lead? Well, we now come to our second reading from Galatians. When it's easy or when it's hard, the Holy Spirit enables us to love, to be joyful, to be at peace, to be faithful, to promote peace, to bear with others. That's like being patient with them, to be kind, good, and gentle. And so to keep in step, he helps us also to be self-controlled. In fact, he helps us to be more like himself, like Jesus. Now remember, these are a work of the Holy Spirit, taking the lead in our relationship with God, living in us. And to emphasize this and reassure us this, the Apostle Paul says in verse 23 of Galatians 5, against such things there's no law. Now this can be a little tricky to understand. It's a bit of a hard bit of the part of the passage to understand. But let me put it this way. What does Paul mean by against such things, this fruit of the Spirit, there is no law? Well, God makes rules. And his rules are his laws. So for us to live by, because we need to be reminded what is good and right, and to remind us that we're not, and we need his rules. Very similar to what mum and dad do at home. They set the rules, and the government does for us adults. But God doesn't make those rules for himself. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit. He's God in us, and God always does what is good and right. He needs no law to tell him what is good and right and to remind him that he's not and that he needs himself. Does that help? It might. Well, to love, to be joyful, to be at peace and promote peace, to be patient, to be kind, good, faithful, gentle, and to keep in step, self-controlled, These are a work of the Holy Spirit taking the lead in your relationship with God and mine. And he lives in us as he does this. Against such things there is no law. However, if in a three-legged race I don't keep in step with my friend taking the lead, if I decide not to cooperate and not bother, we're not going to get very far, are we? I'm bound to my friend and they to me. I have an obligation to cooperate. The Christian, you and me, are described in verse 24 as ones who belong to Christ Jesus, bound to him, verse 24, owned by him. We have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, we consider any thought to not cooperate, to not follow his lead, as having been put to death, crucified, no longer a living thought in us, desiring to be done or ever thought of being done. On the contrary, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we pray that God will help us and grant us the grace to put it into practice, self-discipline, and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, and keep in step with him. We cooperate and we follow his lead. For example, verse 26, we will not let ourselves become conceited, provoking and envying of each other, selfish, snobbish, uncooperative, mean or jealous, because that's not what the Spirit is leading us to be like. And we're not to cooperate in any other way than to obey the Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, young and old, that life with the help of God's Spirit in us, that old way of doing things has been put to death. We now who love Jesus, who keep his commands, have been given the Holy Spirit to help us, to let him take the lead and live by him. If we truly love Jesus, if we truly belong to Jesus, we will keep his commands. We will keep in step with the Spirit's lead. He will produce in us his fruit, and with self-control we will cooperate, and it will be obvious. When it's easy or hard, he will help us to love. When it's easy or hard, he will help us to be joyful, promote peace, be patient with others, kind, good, faithful, and gentle. And to even help us to keep in step with him, he will give us the fruit of self-control. The only difference to a three-legged race and the life we live in relationship with God is that the life we live by the Spirit is not a race, but a walk. A walk with God. A walk by the Spirit. A walk with each other, enjoying our friendship and fellowship. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Thank you. We're going to sing a song now, another hymn, another song, Holy Spirit. We sung this a few months ago, and Rosemary is going to lead us in this song together. Thanks, guys. You might like to stretch your legs and stand and sing this with us. Take up your order of service and sing along with us.
Lord, to renew.
The scriptures remind us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful, God is just, and he will forgive us our sins and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So knowing the mercy of God, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we feel spared to serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was sacrificed once and for all to hear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Amen. Well, Rosemary's going to continue in our time of prayer now, praying for God's world and for the needs of us at this time. Thanks, Rosemary.
Going to follow on your order of service, but praying for God's world. We praise you, God. We praise you, for you are near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. We read that from Psalm 75, verse 1. And in Psalm 91, we read, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray to be more like Christ. Father, help us to be like Christ your Son, who loved the world and died for our salvation. Inspire us by his love. Guide us by his example, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And as our Saviour Christ has taught us, let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we're now going to pray for God's world, his church, and for each other. Heavenly Father, we praise you as the sovereign Lord of the universe. We praise you that to you the nations of the world are like a drop in the bucket and like the dust on the scales. We are so thankful to know that you own the cattle of a thousand hills and that nothing is too hard for you. We thank you that you care for us, that you number even the hairs on each of our heads, and that all the days ordained for each of us were written in your book before any of them happened. We thank you that you can be trusted. We trust you. Help us to trust you more. Thank you that the coronavirus and all the frightening circumstances popping up around it are not frightening to you. Thank you that you know everything there is to know about this virus. Thank you for this desperately needed reminder that we need you. Lord, we confess that we spend so much time thinking and acting as if we are self-sufficient. Forgive us and help us to remember that we depend on you for everything we need, whether we feel healthy or sick, whether the global economy is healthy or sick. Use this time to teach us to trust you more during good times and bad. Father, please pour out your common grace on our world to halt this virus in its tracks. All things are possible for you, Father, and so we ask for healing for a sick world. Please heal those who are already ill. Please prevent the elderly and others who are especially vulnerable to this virus. Please intervene to slow the spread of this virus in countries all over the globe. Please give wisdom, insight, and knowledge to scientists and researchers as they search for the most effective treatments and for a vaccine. Please provide for a vaccine to be quickly discovered, tested, developed, and made available. We pray that you will give wisdom to all rulers and officials who are making vital decisions and who are under such enormous pressure. Guide their hands so they make decisions based on both truth and love. Please withhold power and influence from anyone who would use this time for selfish gain of any kind. We pray especially for our Queen Elizabeth and our own Prime Minister Scott Morrison, our Premier Gladys Berejiklian and our Lord Mayor Clover Moore. We pray that you will give them wisdom and wise counsel, that they may lead our communities to respond to this crisis with calm and generosity. Assist them to govern for the good of all, and enable our leaders to properly resource and support the police, our healthcare workers, our ambulance and fire services in such a way that our communities maintain peace and safety. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be careful and wise in taking whatever precautions are necessary to limit and contain the spread of this virus. Strengthen us to remain calm while vigilant, responsible citizens seeking the welfare of others above ourselves. Please plant into the heart of every Australian the spirit to love our neighbours as ourselves, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus in caring for those around us, friends and strangers alike, as you draw our community together in love. Please, loving Heavenly Father, draw especially close to those who are alone or troubled at this difficult time. Calm their troubled hearts and move their friends, family and acquaintances to call them to encourage and support them. May we mirror to others the fatherly attention and care you daily show us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be with the church leaders making big decisions that will affect so many of your people and their fellowship together. Please give them wisdom on how to best listen to governing authorities and to respect the directions that are given, while still caring for one another and prioritising the need to encourage one another as we see the day of Christ drawing near. Wherever regular gatherings are interrupted, please provide ways for your people to stay connected to one another. And please strengthen us to care for one another in creative and genuine ways. And be especially gracious to those who are already lonely and who may feel particularly isolated during the weeks ahead. Loving Heavenly Father, at a time of great need, please pour out your saving grace on our world and bring people into your kingdom in an extraordinary way. Please use this virus and all the circumstances that surround it to bring people to their knees, to turn people's hearts and minds back to you in repentance and faith. Enable us all to see that for too long we've based on our life on shifting sands. Please bring people all over the world, whether for the first time or in a fresh way, to turn to the Lord Jesus as their rock and to put their hope and trust in him. Thank you that no matter where we have wandered or how long we've run from you, you are always ready to welcome us back through Jesus and what he's done for us. Please help us to be strong and courageous, not afraid or discouraged, because you are near. Help us not to be anxious, but to present all our requests for you in prayer. As we do that, may your peace guard our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. At a time where it feels like the whole world is changing, we praise you, Father, for you never change. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we ask all these things for this country, for its people, and for those we love, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Rosemary. They're difficult times, and we're very mindful of you, especially at this stage the reality of everything sort of falling around and just hitting home. We are here at Abbotsford Anglican very much mindful of our local community, our local church, you brothers and sisters in Christ. But also, if you're listening in today and you're just from our local community around about or somewhere else, please know that God is near, and that he's calling upon you to draw near to him, to pray to him, and find this a time to find strength in a relationship with Jesus. Go to him, pray to him, and find that strength that you can find from him at this time. The Lord be with you. Now, for those of you who are regular members of our church here, I draw your attention to the bulletin that you've got there, again on screen or printed out in front of you. During the week, what's happening? We live each day as it comes and adjust and comply as required, as Rosemary's prayed. We're trusting in our God. But during the week, the church bells have been ringing, and you may have heard them early in the morning, around about 8 o'clock, and then around about the end of the day at 7 p.m. each day of this week. A little bit later on the Saturday and Sundays, I'm mindful that people might want to sleep in a little bit, but the church bells are there, just going to ring for 1 minute, and to hopefully remind locals that God is near, and to call upon him in prayer. And for you, regulars, members of St Andrew's here at Abbotsford, to take this time to pray with me, because I'm praying at that time. Rosemary is too. I'm using the Litany out of the Green Prayer Book on page 98 as a guide for prayer. It just sort of covers all the needs. But I encourage you just to pray, just be silent or to come before God and know that he listens. If your child is in scripture at school, that child will tell you that God doesn't stick his fingers in his ears. He listens to your prayers. So I encourage you to pray each day in your homes and at work, either at this time or another time of your choice. And if you'd like a prayer book, please give me a call and we can arrange to meet at the door and give you a prayer book. So you can use that for your prayers. People are phoning each other, and that's great to hear. Please keep in contact with each other during the week. If anyone needs items to be picked up or bought, please let Janice or myself know, and we will arrange for them to be collected for you. I'll endeavour to contact you during the week. So please, if I miss out, you ring me. I'm aiming to ring you during the week. Church at 9:30 on Sundays, tune in and ring up like you've done this morning. Please let us know how this has gone, if it's been a helpful time for you. And please encourage us as well. And at the end of this little service, after we've sung our final song, I encourage you to go to the kitchen, make yourself some morning tea, and then choose a couple of people to ring up, like you would normally do at morning tea, and have a little chat for a little while. I think our morning teas will go on all the way through to lunchtime, I think, if we do that today. And if you're worried about, some of you have asked and said, well, I'd really like to keep giving the offertory envelopes. How can I get that to us? Well, we're hoping people might go online and actually direct debit and learn how to do that. But if not, well, then just set aside your envelopes each week. Set aside them. They'll be collected in due time. If you want one of the wardens to come and pick them up from you, please come. We don't want you to come out and hand them to us. We'll come and get them from you. But just keeping them there, set aside at the end of each week. We'll eventually get them, but let us know. And comply. Please comply with all government directives, no exceptions. If you get sick and need to self-isolate, do so. But let myself, Karen or Janice know. I don't think there are any other announcements. Karen, David, Rosemary, Diane, any other announcements? All right, well then we might sing our final song together. And it's one we've been practicing, a new one. It reminds us to be with the work of the Holy Spirit in us, to be undivided, to serve him, to be more and more like Jesus. Please stand.
Gracious and forgiving, hear, O Lord, and I.
Lord, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and your love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honor you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. The Lord be with you and also with you. Thank you for joining us for church this morning. Listen in till next week, and continue to contact each other during the week and pray for each other and keep in touch.